It's Friday afternoon, the 26th day of September. On the phone line with us is Mike Zuzulow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. I talked to Sue Martin at the noon hour today when we did the capture for her so she could be on the air. She tells me that the Des Moines and Webster City area were beautiful. It's magnificent here. How about in Atchison, Kansas?
It's getting prettier by the hour, Todd. It's getting nice and breezy, and I think we're going to hit 85 today. We're looking at a stretch of about 4 days of mid to maybe even upper 80s before we're expected to get some rains in midweek of next week. And that seems to be what the noontime model suggested as well coming into the middle part of the day, was that the western Corn Belt would open up. Nebraska, parts of Nebraska were near 90 yesterday, so I'm guessing they're running pretty good at this point. But by the time we get to midweek, it looks like there's some more rains coming in. We'll probably shut down again by the end of the week, but you guys out there look like you're going to have a wide-open situation for 6 or 7 days.
Yeah, it looks that way, and I think Iowa may shut down sometime in the midweek too. Is that right?
Yeah, it looks like anybody west of the Mississippi, regardless of whether you're north or south, is probably going to have to contend with some wetter weather coming in from really two different areas. The Gulf looks wet for the southeast and the Delta region, and then the northwest looks like where our system is coming from.
These are a couple of things that traders in Chicago will be watching, depending on how wet it actually gets. A pause is no big deal, but real rainfall can be a problem. On the other hand, they'll probably be most interested in the grain stocks report. As you look forward to the numbers, what do you see there?
I think it's important to watch. We talked about the beans today, so I won't hit this morning. I won't hit that very hard this afternoon. But mm-hmm. I think it's important to watch the wheat stocks, because we'll also get wheat production numbers. And we did see the wheat hold that 200-month moving average today on a closing basis, and it was pretty impressive to me, given that we continue to make new 4-year highs up against the dollar index. And so the trade is looking at probably the highest wheat stock since 2012, with an average guess of 1.88 billion bushels. The low numbers are what I'm really focusing on, Todd, because since we are in September and we are harvesting, as you say, we probably need something very surprising to the trade. So low numbers are what counts if you're looking for something to move the market into some kind of short covering bias. So 1.7 billion or lower, that's the low end number for wheat, would be real important. And on the corn side, we're looking at the highest numbers in 4 years, with an average of 1.18 billion bushels, 1.02 billion, so roughly 1 billion is the low number on the Reuters trade guesses. So those are two other numbers to watch, along with those bean numbers from this morning's conversation.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we would look forward past the grain stocks into the WASD figures and the supply and demand estimates as we make our way through the month of October. And there may be or may not be some acreage updates there for the harvested acres, probably certainly for harvested, maybe even for planted acres. What do you think?
Yeah, I think harvested acres, and I think the other big thing out there looming is the RFS mandate. I think we're probably going to have to get some news on that within the next 4 weeks also, to make plans to get everybody up to snuff and let the ethanol producers know exactly what kind of RIN supply they need to have and what kind of supplies the market can look forward to. So I would guess that we've drugged this thing out long enough, and it seems to be whenever you get closer to a major election with one side leading in the polls dramatically versus the other, maybe the politics start to influence the ag policy a little bit more. That's just based upon my own personal experience and history. So not saying it's going to happen, but something to watch for.
So what do you think might happen? Because here we are in the month of September, almost rolling into the month of October. The RFS, which stands for Reformulated Fuel Standard, is supposed to be announced by the United States EPA for the coming calendar year in November. We have not gotten yet the 2014 calendar year announcement from the United States EPA, and we'll be soon upon the 2015 announcement. So it seems to me that there may very well be something that happens there, or nothing at all. I suppose there are numbers in place at this point that they could simply say, we're just going to leave it where it is, and then we'll adjust for 2015.
I suppose they could do that, but that'd be pretty short-sighted. I'm not saying that's not possible, but I think you're probably looking at the need to get something out to the market, especially with a surplus in corn. And as I said, with an election year, and you know, the Senate is especially up for grabs here, I would think that they would want to not hurt their farm constituency on either side of the party and get something done here. So on the forgot to tell you that we did have a hogs and pigs report here.
Absolutely.
Right before you called, and all hogs and pigs came in 98, kept for breeding 102, kept for marketing 97. All these numbers on the upper end of the ranges. So while the marketing's number looks nice from a demand standpoint, the supply side is building. This is a supply building September report. All of the weight group breakdowns were either at the top end of the range or bigger than the highest end, highest range estimate. And we also saw pigs per litter beat the highest trade guess, coming in at 98%. So when I look at the major numbers here on the very start of this report, not digging very deep into it, pigs per litter and these increased weights we've seen would suggest we've got a real well-supplied market in the near term. And with the SEP-NOV farrowings coming in at 104%, which was on the top end of the trade guesses, would suggest you're looking at very well-supplied market as well going into next spring. So it probably, I would look at it as negative, the hogs, but pretty supportive as far as corn demand. So to try and throw some corn demand in there along with the ethanol talk.
Yeah, that would be interesting. So maybe we can get the livestock to start to build a bit in the United States. That might eat through a few of the extra bushels we're obviously going to have. What do you hear from producers in your area about yields and expectations?
Well, I think like your part of the country, the early corn is above average, and I would say it's probably running 10 to 15% above what expectations were, or 10 to 15% above what they did for their best yields in the last 4 or 5 years. It's really been the beans, though, that have surprised to the upside as far as yields, and especially the early group beans, group twos and mid group twos and early group threes, you know, running into the 70s and some getting into the upper 70s has just been astounding to producers. Now, that would be north of here. Not a lot has been done in the Atchison, St. Joe area yet because we have been under a little bit of different weather play.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzlo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting joins us on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.